You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Jackson just told me that the Piggly Wiggly in Byram, so they have good food?
Oh, man. The
blue plate's ridiculous?
And when I tell you, slam.
Slam. Probably by 11 a.m.?
Oh, yeah. You better get in line by 10:30. Because, I mean, they have restaurant seating. Slam.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's nice. They got a little deli. I mean, it's deli seating. How about that? You know, a few tables here and there with some booths. But it's like six or seven, maybe eight of them packed out.
Blue plate.
The people, you know, they're backed into the...
Any kind of meats? Or?
Oh, yeah. All variety.
Chicken? Fried chicken? Baked chicken?
Pulled pork?
Pulled pork?
Oh, man. Of course.
Have you ever had any ribs there?
I have. The ribs are very, very good there. They, talking about falling off the bone, man.
Okay.
It's impressive. I don't know if it's gas station food quality. I don't know. It's pretty close.
Okay.
It's a good gas station. I'll think about it.
Yeah, those... When you kind of get into the rural grocery stores, you can dive in, and that deli will make you, you know. Woo! Good morning. Welcome in. We are the Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone. Our friend Mike Dettillier, WWL Radio TV New Orleans. He joins us on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. We're brought to you by Sound and Communications. If you need a video wall for your school, K-12, junior college, G5, Power 5, video walls, hospitals, law offices, soundcomav.com. Also, sound systems for hospitals, sports facilities, sound and communications, soundcomav.com. Mike D joining us on the Out of Bounds Show. All right, Mike D, J.J. McCarthy, quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines. Most everybody has Caleb Williams, Drake May, and your guy, Jaden Daniels, above J.J. McCarthy. But he seems to be getting a little bit of buzz here late. I like him. I like him a lot, actually. He didn't have to do everything that some other QBs or wasn't allowed to, maybe combination of, because they had that power running game and were so darn good in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And kudos to Harbaugh for understanding what they could do. But are you surprised that there's a little bit more buzz leading up to the draft every week on J.J. McCarthy, Mike D?
No, it's a quarterback-driven league. He is not, on my ratings, he's not a top 5 player, a 10 player, a 15 player. He's 17th or 18th on my ratings. But I get it. Because in the NFL, either you got a quarterback or you're looking for one. Okay, there is no gray area. Either you got one or you're looking for one. And there's more than just a handful of teams that are looking for quarterbacks. He did play under Harbaugh's system And that tells me a couple things. One, he's got a thick hide to him. He knows how to take criticism really well. And, you know, Jim gets after those quarterbacks pretty good. And because, you know, he played the position, and I understand that particular part. You're right about he did what Harbaugh wanted him to do, and that was Harbaugh's teams were built on a power running game. Big offensive line, run the football, and then occasionally you throw the football off play action. But, you know, you could see with J.J., he's got good passing skills. What I like about him is he's got a quick release. He's accurate. He finds secondary receivers very well. So he's got a quick process to him. He's got a bit of a thin build. I see on some of the longer throws, and this I think will get better as he physically gets stronger. He's put on some weight in the offseason that his longer balls had a tendency to sort of hang up a little bit. But you can get better with that particular part. But accuracy, smarts, processing quick, and you can see it in his game. So that it doesn't surprise me that he is being talked about. And we talked about this a couple weeks back. I wouldn't be surprised at all. First four picks in a draft, it's never been done. All quarterbacks. In whatever order you look at, Caleb Williams, Jaden, Drake May, McCarthy, wouldn't be shocked. Top four picks, all QBs. It's a quarterback-driven league. You look how the rules are being set up today for that. They want offense football, and they're getting it. And the big question for me is not where J.J. falls, because I think of the quarterbacks, four of the top six picks at least will be quarterbacks, and it could be the top four. What happens to Penix and Bo Nix? Because it's going to affect them more than any other person. It's going to affect those two other guys on how quickly they come off the board. And to be honest with you, I think it also is going to affect eventually Spencer Rattler, who I think is going to be a second-round pick. I think most people wouldn't have said that in December. But I can see it today because of the need for quarterbacks across the board in the National Football League. And this draft is going to be saturated early with offensive linemen, wide receivers, quarterbacks.
Bo Nix. Okay. All right. So Sean, I mean, Payton.
It's got to, because if those four come off the board like we think they're going to come off, and even if it's in the top six, it's going to affect Michael Penix and Bo Nix. Because now if you're looking for a quarterback, you know, your choices have now been eliminated.
All right. Sean is having fun. He's we're busy with Mike D'Atelier, Saints Insider, NFL Draft Insider. He's on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. You're listening to ESPN 105.9 The Zone. Mike D, talking ball. Mike, you know him. He's one of the coaches that is willing to mix it up with the media, Sean Payton. No telling how many things he'll throw out. Who knows what's he's really thinking. But he's starting to talk about, you know, J.J. McCarthy and who knows. You know, I think if you gave Sean J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix, he's so damn good at coaching that position and as a play caller. There's no doubt in my mind, whatever the upside is, he could get it out of them. Mike, you agree?
He's going to get the best he can out of a quarterback. I think for him, he's looking for a certain type of quarterback to run his offense. He wants someone that is going to be able to run what he calls play calling wise. And it did not work with Russell Wilson. Did not work well. And so he might be caught in a fix here because of the fact that there are teams with a lot more ammunition to move up than what Sean has. And now where do you go with this? And you start to hear it in his voice a little bit that he knows now that, you know, those top guys, he's not real sure if he can get to that point where he could get one of them. And it may come down to a Bo Nix. And he may not feel as though Nix is the guy to pick that early in round one. Sean has always been aggressive about players, always, people that he wants. And I could see this scenario happen that they pass on a quarterback with his pick in round one and try to get that quarterback on the back end of round one, try to trade back up and try to get that particular quarterback. But he's looking for a certain style quarterback. And that's just the way Sean's going to be. And he understands now that AFC West, when you're dealing with having to play against Mahomes twice a year, Justin Herbert twice a year, who knows what's going to happen in Las Vegas, because that's another team that has to take a long look at upgrading their quarterback position,
sure.
A real long look at it. That, you know, he's got to make a move somewhere to solidify that spot, either through a trade or trying to get himself back up in round one. I can't see him using a team's pick on Bo Nix, but I can see him trading back up in round one in the 20s for Bo Nix. That part I could see.
Okay. Mike Dettillier.
Number two, this is the same guy that traded multiple picks for Jeremy Shockey. He used the third round pick on Jimmy Graham when Jimmy was a basketball player who had a very limited tight end background in college. If Brock Bowers is there in round one, that would seemingly be a good fit for him. And then you can kind of backtrack it and try to get yourself back into the first round, maybe using future picks, players, whatever. The one thing with Sean, if he wants someone, and we saw this numerous times here, he's willing to give you more than fair price.
I have to tell you about this game-changing product I used before a night out with drinks. It's called Z-Biotics. Every time I have a Z-Biotics before I drink, I notice a difference the next day, even after a night out. For example, when we smash steaks and drink bourbon and so on, I do it without worry because of Z-Biotics. You should too. Go to ZBiotics.com/OOB to get 15% off your first order when you use OOB at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/OOB and use the code OOB at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. Cheers.
In a trade.
Mike Dettillier talking Sean Payton, NFL draft quarterbacks. As he said, it is a QB-driven league, and we expect Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels, boom, boom, boom. The question, and Mike just threw it out, will it be a fourth in a row on that Thursday night with J.J. McCarthy off the board? Will Sean Payton make a run at J.J. McCarthy, or will he wait, like Mike D. said, and maybe pick up a Bo Nix? We'll see. I think he can make both of them really good players. Look, we know Sean Payton is an acquired taste, and you mentioned how hard Harbaugh coaches QBs like J.J. McCarthy, and we've heard the stories of Sean and Drew. I think it took a special person to handle Sean. Talk about, you were there for every single year, okay? Every training camp, every season. And Drew could handle Sean and his intensity and his barking. And not every player can. Can you expand on that and talk about first of all, how special a relationship they had, but how Drew was able to handle Sean's, I guess, intensity and crazy brains, but also brilliance for that long.
You know, I didn't know how it would work at first because I knew Drew was a live wire, no insulation. He was a guy that, you know, he had his own mind set about certain things. And I'd heard Sean was similar. So you wondered, with two personalities that are similar, how they would get along. And they were like two links in the chain. It worked seamless between the two of them. Both were intense. Both knew how to a nuance about how a game should be called and had a feeling about the opponent that was strong. This is where Pete Carmichael came in. He was the liaison in that. I think if Sean felt strongly about something and maybe Drew didn't, Carmichael would come in and sort of soft soap it to one party or the other. Because he was the calming influence between the two. And so we've had different players tell us, you know, game plan wise, they come up with a game plan. And a lot of times Drew is, I don't want to run this and kind of put that play aside. That was the way Drew is. Drew felt maybe this wasn't going to work against that opponent. And so it was two strong personalities that got along very well and kind of were on the same wavelength on I would say, on probably 95% of things. They were exactly the same, and you didn't see friction between them at all. It was really unbelievable to watch how they got along so well. Because there were so many rumors at that time that the relationship between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady was not good. You know, and now you're finding out that that's exactly what it was. It wasn't real good between the two of them, but it was between Sean and Drew. Mutual respect between one another, how they felt about the game, how to attack an opponent was all sort of, you know, that square peg, you know, fit, you know, in that square hole between them. But both of them were very intense about how to go after an opponent. And I think that sometimes that's not always the case between a head coach and a quarterback. And, you know, Sean could be tough, but Drew was tougher on himself than Sean could ever be.
Okay.
Okay, that's the other part. Drew held himself so accountable for everything. It wasn't somebody else screwed up. It was him. He felt that way. So they have a new center, okay? Max Unger retires sort of suddenly. And Max, for me, was the best center I've ever seen in a Saints uniform, the best. It was a short run, but, man, he was unbelievable at center. And so, you know, I thought, Bobby and I talking about it, and Bobby's deal is, you know, without the center, somebody's got to make the calls up front. So we meet up with Drew, and, you know, we talking after practice, and Bobby asked him before the, you know, we start interviewing him. He was like, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He said, I got it. Bobby, what's what you mean? He said, no, I got it. I'll make the calls. Don't worry about it. I got it. I'll make the calls. Because it was going to be Eric McCoy, a rookie center. I'm going to make those calls. Don't worry about it. Guys, I got it. He kind of took it upon himself that, hey, listen, it's going to be me. It's going to be okay. Okay, not a lot of veterans, you know, would kind of matter-of-factly, yeah, I got it. That was Drew. Staying after practice, working with Michael Thomas. We saw that numerous times. Same thing with Jimmy in his prime. He would stay after practice. Sean didn't have to tell him that. Drew did that. He worked with Mike after practice, worked with Jimmy Graham after practice, worked with Alvin Kamara after practice, one-on-one. Okay? Sean didn't press that. Drew did. So something to watch, and I'm not real sure I'm going to see that sort of thing again with the relationship between a very successful head coach here who changed the landscape of the Saints and a quarterback that changed the world for the Saints.
No doubt.
He really did. And they were both intense, both, I mean, you know, live wires at times.
But they were able to, all right, help me out here, Mike. They obviously were, they understood on game day they couldn't, you couldn't ruffle Drew, like even if Sean was upset. But like during training camp and practice, was there a lot of intense communication and barking? Nope. Or did that happen behind closed doors? How did that look, Mike, with Breeze and Peyton?
It was like you and I talking. It was like you and I talking right now. I mean, that's how they communicated. You didn't see that side sometimes with, and I see it more on the defensive side, maybe a defensive coach getting upset with certain play calls, or maybe doesn't feel the practice is going right. You never really saw that with Sean and Drew. And if Drew would throw an interception, that was nobody more upset about it than Drew. I saw Drew, and this was back-to-back plays. He makes throws downfield, and they both get intercepted in practice. On the second one, Drew got so mad, he took his helmet off and he slammed it down. And he's talking to himself. Nobody had to tell him anything. He was upset with his throw. That was Drew. It wasn't anything with him and Sean. It was Drew. And, you know, then Sean would go up and, you know, they would talk. But it was like you and I talking right now. Mm. Their relationship was really special. And I think Jeff Duncan did that, you know, book of Peyton and Breeze.
Oh, so good, Mike.
And sort of laid it out on their relationship and how well they got along and that sort of thing. And Drew has got this personality, the way he talks, it, you almost got to, like, test him to make sure he still has a heartbeat sometimes. Because, you know, he's just it never really changes, but yet you can see the competitor and the intensity in him. With Sean, you could see the intensity. You could see the competitor in him. With Drew, I think he masked it really well. But it was unbelievable to see. And I live next door over 30 years to Joe Clark, who was a coach and a player, former backup quarterback to Otto Graham with the Cleveland Browns. And Paul Brown was the head coach. And Joe would always tell me, I can't believe they get along so well, these two strong personalities. Because he said, you know, there were times, and he said the NFL was covered a little different, that Coach Brown and Otto didn't really see eye to eye very well. You know, Otto wanted to do things his way, and Paul wanted to do things his way. And he said there was always a little bit of a friction between the two of them. And he said, it's remarkable to watch. You don't see any of that. They sort of just would talk it out, whatever's good. And if there was any disagreement, that's where Pete Carmichael got involved.
Brilliant. They had the cooler in between them.
They had the moderator, the one guy that could come in there and, okay, you don't like this, and I'll talk to Sean, and then we'll work it out. It really was something to watch. But it was their work ethic and detail of figuring out exactly every little detail and how it would work that was something. And you saw it in practice, and it translated into games that they were able to make it work. But Drew was wired a little bit differently in that, you know, he wanted everything down to the T on Saturdays. And I didn't normally go to the practices on a Saturday. One day I go up to the practice on a Saturday, and he is running the plays all by himself. Breeze is on the field by himself, moving from the 30-yard line all the way to the other side. And sort of talking to himself like a play throw, getting up to the line of scrimmage, and doing it with nobody else there. Who the hell does that? But that was Drew. In his own mind, he was running those plays, and he wanted kind of a trial run with it before they really did play against someone.
That was fantastic. Storytelling with Mike D. It doesn't get any better. Mike Dettillier, have a good week, buddy. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, Bo. Appreciate it.
At Mike Dettillier on Twitter, WWL Radio TV New Orleans. He joined us on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. We want to say good morning. Welcome into you. Thanks for listening to the show and hanging out with us. We're having some fun here on a Tuesday. Weather's going to get better. I hope you're safe from last night. That's some bad stuff that came through. Mike D, interview brought to you by Sound and Communications. If you need a video wall for your business, your school, your hospital, soundcomav.com. If you need a sound system for your hospital or sports facility, soundcomav.com.